Good morning. We are so excited to worship with
parents in the life of a kid. Just by collecting things now, you can do school supplies, you can do toys. Check out this amazing website. It's called wowsupplies.com. We plan to finish this project in September, so start collecting now. We anticipate the WOW supplies are going to sell out fast. So start collecting now, and if you have any questions at all, contact Jenny King. Thank you.
You are invited to view the 4th of July fireworks with your church family.
With this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice.
Oh, and on my heart this much is true, there's no life apart from you.
So good that you're here to learn and practice how we can be the church for you. So as we come here and we do that and we praise your name, just be with us as we do that this week. In your name, Jesus, amen.
One, two, intro, two, three, four. Verse one.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than is right for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemy. Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
Oh, up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, yet the King is alive.
You all may be seated.
Streams of grace flow deep and wide.
Pre-chorus.
For all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
Chorus.
At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life, I'm in all of you.
Upcoming week, we will be having significance for many of us, the celebration of America's Independence Day. It's a time when we reflect on the freedoms and liberties that our nation was founded upon, the sacrifices made by countless individuals to secure and maintain these freedoms, and the ongoing journey toward a more perfect union. While we honor these national freedoms, it is fitting to also reflect on the profound spiritual freedom we have through Jesus Christ. John 8:36, Jesus tells us, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This freedom we celebrate, drink the cup, let us remember his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, sealing a new covenant that brings us into the fullness of life in him. Galatians 5:1 reminds us, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Sorry about that, frog. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. As we reflect on these words, let us commit ourselves to living in the freedom Christ provides, a freedom characterized by love, service, and grace. And we thank you for the freedom we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we partake of the bread and the cup, may we remember his sacrifice and the true liberty it brings. Help us to live in a way that reflects his love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Privilege to serve others and support the church. 2 Corinthians 8:3-4. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And in 9:6, remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You can give many ways. Dear Lord, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the freedom from sin that you've given us. I ask that you please watch over this congregation. And I would also like to ask the congregation to recite along with me the Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
For those who haven't been here or those who can't remember what we did yesterday, much less alone a week ago, this series is about a practical and logical way that Jesus shares some deep truths about the kingdom and how he shares it with us through this if-then statement. And he does so to make things clear and concise for his disciples, for his followers, for his believers. And so far we've covered these awesome truths from the gospel. It's about the reality of adversity and hardship. And today's passage is especially relevant for those of us living in the Western world. I mean, I thought this place was round, but still we're called the Western world. where we've experienced relative ease, haven't we? Here in the West, it's easy to have faith compared to the rest of the world. But things are getting progressively more difficult. It's getting harder and harder. That's not to say that it's publicly dangerous to gather and worship, or even to own a Bible can lead to your death. And I think it's appropriate to talk about that when we talk about our independence. And it wasn't even meant to be, it just worked out that way. Because we live in a country where we have the freedom to express our faith for now. For now. People would like to take that away. We're still fighting for that same independence and that same freedom. And we're seeing more and more of that. If you know life and if you know Jesus, then you have more than enough. We know this and experience this when we face adversity and hardship, and we realize that Jesus is right here with us even though we're going through this hardship. So when Jesus warns, if the world hates you, then keep in mind that it hated me first. We're not shocked or saddened when the world turns its back on you. We know the truth, and we know that the message of the gospel is offensive to the powers and the principles. After all, in John 3:17, it says God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We all like that 3:16 verse, but this one here says more. He came to save the world, not to condemn it. Yet the world rejects him. And before we get ahead of ourselves, let's read through our passage. I want you to listen for all the if-then statements from Christ. And all the amazing truth in just 8 verses. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who has sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. Now Jesus is painting a pretty grim picture of the way he was thought about in the society he was living in, didn't he? It's pretty grim. The people hated him. That society rejected him. And our society, for the most part, rejects him too. For the most part. And so in light of the scripture we just read, we have to talk about the rejection of Jesus. That is so important to our faith. Rejected him. And he warned his followers that they're going to face that same opposition. But why? Why would anyone want to reject someone who'd come to save them? It just doesn't make sense, does it? Well, Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. The world's hatred for Jesus is rooted in its opposition to God and his ways. The world hates changing. We don't talk about his righteousness, do we? We don't want to talk about the truth that is found in his word, because that convicts us of those sins that we live. The way we live our life is exposed when it comes to Jesus. And you know, you think about this. Those people were unwilling to repent and turn to God. They found it easier to reject his message than to confront their own sin. Lord and Savior. They're saying, we don't want to change. We want to do what we want to do. Matter of fact, but it is so important to understand this. That when rejecting Jesus is terrible. The rejection of Jesus is also the rejection of the Father. You're rejecting God. You can't love God and reject Jesus. As a matter of fact, it said so in verse 23 when it says, whoever hates me hates my Father as well. But yet, we want to pick and choose. The rejection of Jesus is ultimately a rejection of the Father, and it's a refusal to submit to His authority and to accept that salvation. In addition to this, Jesus was rejected because He didn't fit the expectations of the people of His time. Y'all don't have any expectations of Jesus, do you? Huh? Yes. You got expectations of everybody sitting around you. The people of the time expected Jesus to be different. Something that transcended earthly power and politics. They wanted something different from what God the Father had given. They didn't want this message of love and forgiveness and self-sacrifice. That was not what they wanted to hear. So they rejected Him as their true Messiah. And that's true of a lot of people we know. I see a lot of people who don't hear what they want. They come to church and they don't hear Kirby saying what they want to hear. And they say things like, well, I don't feel like God wants me to be unhappy. Or I'm going to pause just a minute before I get really soapboxy. You have a right in this world to your feelings. You do. But when you stand before God and He says your feelings were wrong because it's not the way He intended it, what are you going to say then? What if your feelings don't line up with what He's got in here? Does that make it truth because you feel it? Or does it make it truth because that's what's in here? Between this rock and a hard place, aren't you? When you're out with your friends and your social circle, doing whatever it is you do, and do you play along with your friends or do you choose God? Do you go with your feelings or what they feel, or do you go with what God says? Well, if you choose God, then more than likely your friends are going to reject you. Just like they do God. And if they reject you, they weren't really your friends anyway. Jesus' rejection wasn't a surprise to Him. And it shouldn't surprise you that if you choose to follow Jesus, people are going to reject you. It was necessary, part of His mission to save the world. If they hadn't rejected Him, they would have never nailed Him to the cross, would they? We wouldn't celebrate Easter if they'd all said, oh, we just love Jesus. The prophets of the Old Testament had foretold suffering and the rejection of the Messiah. And Jesus explained, you cannot grow spiritually without adversity. Can you? They're an opportunity for us to identify with our Savior. It's an opportunity for you to identify with Jesus, to grow in your faith, to bear witness to the truth of the gospel. We can take comfort in the fact that Jesus understands our pain and has promised to be with us in the midst of our trials. I mean, after all, He said this, in this world, you will win. I grew up in a little rural area called Emory. Now, when I'm talking rural, we didn't have a mayor. We wasn't a town. Emory, Virginia, it was just a place. We didn't have a red light. We had a couple of stop signs by accident. You know, and I grew up in this little area, but right across the street from where my mom and dad's house was a liberal arts college called Emory and Henry. And at Emory and Henry College, there were professors who had houses all around us. We're in my neighborhood, played with and raising a family there in the same town. And Leslie and I had taken our first church in Bristol, only 20 miles from our home. And Leslie took a job as the faculty secretary for Emory and Henry College. Now, that should tell you how big it is. She was the secretary for the whole faculty. Big old college, you know, 900 some students, you know, but we were looked down upon. And here's the thing. This meant now that Leslie and I were, but there were some. And it didn't have anything to do with me and my education. It had to do with my education being in ministry. That's where it really came to be the hardest. I was persecuted, talked about, rolled eyes at me all the time. If I blessed a meal at lunch or something, scoffed, mocked, I was rejected. Matter of fact, there was one guy there that so rejected for my faith, to be looked down upon because I am Christian. You know, there was this idea that our faith in Jesus will often lead to persecution in this world, and it scares us, doesn't it? It just scares us. And the reality that Jesus himself warned his disciples that it was going to happen. Matter of fact, all but one of them died terribly, horrible deaths because of their faith. It's also a confirmation of our identities as disciples by the way we live, by the choices we make. It's because we identify with Christ that we can also expect to be treated like him. So on some level, we can rejoice in the rejection we experience because of what it says about our position and our relationship with Jesus. Not to mention, Jesus even says that those who experience rejection for his name's sake are blessed. Remember, blessed are you when people insult you. Do you feel blessed when people insult you? You rejoice. Because that means if they're persecuting you, you're following Jesus like you're supposed to. If they're leaving you alone, you need to look at your life. You need to look at the things you're doing. You'll notice that in this passage, it's not just Jesus, but also the prophets. It's all of us who choose to follow God in this life. If we will experience opposition in the world, Jesus said, if the world hates you, then keep in mind that it hated me first. If the world hates you, there's encouragement of belonging to Jesus. This is a profound encouragement being found in this, isn't there? In knowing that you belong to Jesus. This encouragement is rooted in the reality that Jesus himself has chosen you to come out of this world. And this is where the idea of not in this world comes from. You know, in verse 19 he says, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. You were once in the world when I found you. Come, because he made us. He invented us. He invented all the different people that you and I are intended to be. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give up myself to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. Now think about that. Belonging to Jesus also means we're part of a greater purpose and mission. By following Jesus, you're part of something magnificent. As his followers, we're called to share the work of proclaiming the good news of salvation. Well, if you're living just like they are, why would they want to come? They don't see anything different. You know, I tell people all the time, I could build you a big church. We could be really full. We can give them what they want. I can say what they want to hear, and we can have a church full of people. Full. But I'm not going to compromise the truth for the sake of numbers. I refuse. I would rather people need the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from all the falsehood in this world, all the false doctrines, all the false teachings, and it'll set you free to live a life with Jesus. You're going to face persecution if you live that truth. And we can take heart in the knowledge that we're not alone, that Jesus is with us through that persecution. And we're part of a larger community of believers who are also striving to live their faith in the midst of a hostile world. You know, people in this world who are trying their best to stand strong. Our suffering and our pain and rejection are not unique. There are lots of people in this world experiencing it. Our specific situation may be unique. But from what we hear in Peter, there are believers all over the world who are going through adversity as well. John 14, 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Is that not good news? This is a promise not only to the original disciples, but it extends to all who put their trust in Jesus. We want a mansion in heaven. I don't care if it's a cot in a corner. I just want to get there. But he's preparing a place for us. Isn't that going to be wonderful? A place where there will be no more persecution. There'll be no more pain. For us who stand firm. But for the world, eternity is going to be different. So much more different. There won't be a cot. There won't be a room. There'll just be pain and suffering. I think I'll choose. I told you last week, how many of you are going to get to heaven and say, I got questions for Jesus? And you're going to get up there and say, ah, forget it. I'm just glad I'm here. And that's the best news you'll ever hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Enjoy your cot. Enjoy your mansion. Enjoy your room. If you're a follower of Christ, the question isn't, will I have trouble? The question is, when will I have trouble? And what am I going to do about it? And being, if you really believe in him, you won't line up with the rest of the world. And so we have the hope. We trust that we are his, and we that no weapon formed against us will prevail. This is the clear and concise logic of a good father who has blessing and goodness for his kids. So believe today and then with society. You're just living here on your way to a better place. And if they hate you, it's a blessing. It's not a curse. If the world rolls its eyes at you and scoffs because you pray before you eat, it's a blessing, not a curse. Rejoice in knowing that you're living a life that is different. But that starts by choosing him for salvation. That starts by confessing him as Lord. Being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit. And then with the Spirit, you can live. Ding dong. Jesus is calling. We'll use that. Listen, Jesus, his closest friends denied him. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If that doesn't drive you to his feet, nothing will. That even though you reject him time in and time out, even though you choose your way instead of his, he's still standing there waiting for you to come. He's never lost his excitement for you. It's time to get excited. It's time to be excited. Because every day you get is a gift. Because you're not guaranteed another breath here. And you should be using every minute you have to glorify the one who loved you enough to die for you. So you have a decision to make. Today, will you choose Jesus or are you going to choose the world?
chemistry, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection for me. And oh, me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
people about Jesus, because you know, you come here, it's just a practice to go out and live. You know, when we come here, it's kind of like a test run. This is the easiest place in the world to be a Christian, isn't it? Right here on Sunday morning. So let's go do it where it's hard and see if you face persecution. And if you do, rejoice in it, because Jesus loved you enough to go through what he went through. Who are we not to look different out there? All right, Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads. Dear God, as we go out into the world this week and we be the church for you, just bless us with your presence and your love, as you do all the time. But we always need it. It's always something that is dear to us, and we thank you so much for everything you do. So we praise you every day and just thank you for being with us. In your name, amen.
He lies, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean we're all sinking. Meets it like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way